Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can see the natural leadership is there. The natural arm talent is there. Everything about him is just always a positive thing. And even when he has a bad like play, he's looking to learn real fast right after. And I mean, that's all you can ask him for, him to quickly forget, but also learn at the same time.
Steve Rosenbloom. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's us. We're here on your Memorial Day for your Memorial Day listening. Steve Rosenbloom, Mike Esposito, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter or beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Scores text line. We're a 630 texter. People forget. The offense is new for all the players. The defense is going to be ahead at this point, and it will take a while for the offense to develop. Yep. What you heard coming in was DJ Moore talking about Caleb Williams, that he's showing the leadership. He's showing what we want, what we expect, all of that stuff. It's kind of what DJ Moore has been through with, like, the quarterback du jour, a different one every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, he talk about quarterbacking issues, and DJ Moore came from Carolina, where they had a revolving door at quarterback. Justin Fields last year was, dare I say, the best he's had. And obviously, DJ had a great year last year. But this is an upgrade. This is expected to be a big upgrade for the Bears. So we'll see how it's a work in progress, and we will see it. We've only seen brief flurries in OTAs and whatnot, but he's expecting quick improvement, as we just heard.
And he's got the best supporting cast any number one overall pick, any number one overall quarterback has had. You've got DJ Moore himself. He's a 1,600-yard receiver. He's a, whether he makes a Pro Bowl or not, he's a Pro Bowl receiver.
Yes.
He was spectacular. And then you have a surefire Hall of Famer in Keenan Allen, yes, by the way. Okay? And then, well, I shouldn't say then, but you also drafted Rome Odunze, and he got hurt immediately. He got White Soxed. He got White Soxed immediately. Well, as I said, he went one practice in the rookie minicamp against Air, and he had a hamstring issue.
Did he not then go throw out the first pitch at a White Sox game? I believe he did, because I think Dustin was mad about that.
So maybe that's what happened. Maybe he got White Soxed.
He got onto the turf at Guaranteed Rate Field. And
that's just, that's not good. I'm sorry. I realize football players get hurt, but not against Air. You hurt your hamstrings. Why? And it's, I know injuries happen. They happen so much to the injury-prone White Sox, even though Rick Hahn told us we're not injury-prone. They're not injury-prone players just because they get injured three or four times a year, and it's the same players, and it's the same things.
I know we're talking Bears, but that, and especially the Eloy Jimenez getting hurt again after finally being healthy and starting to hit, crazy. We have someone joining us, sir.
We're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And he is Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated. Matt, thanks for taking time out this Memorial Day. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Living la vida loca. That's how we are, because the Bears have the number one overall pick. And we were discussing earlier, they had the number one overall pick. They spent it on the best quarterback, allegedly a generational quarterback, and they're in OTA. He has trouble in the red zone, and we think it's already over. No, we don't. I made a joke out of that, and suddenly Twitter went nuts. So the question we raised last time with a guy who had similar criticisms coming out to Justin Fields, holds the ball too long, he would get sacked. You want to see the ability to make anticipatory throws, which Justin Fields still hasn't developed. And then you look at what C.J. Stroud did. So is Caleb Williams, from what you've seen and in this quarterback class, going to be closer to C.J. Stroud this season or closer to Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think it's so hard to sit here and really give an answer in the sense that we're so early in this. That being said, coming out of college, Caleb Williams is more polished than C.J. Stroud was. I mean, I don't even think it's arguable. There were a lot of people who thought, coming out of college, that C.J. Stroud was a good player, but somebody who had a pretty limited ceiling. And he obviously does not have a limited ceiling. He being Williams, I think, is closer to Stroud. I also think he's in a great situation. I mean, the Bears are very talented around him. This is not a situation where he's going into a team that you look at and go, well, he just has no help. I mean, he's got Keenan Allen. He has DJ Moore. He has Cole Kmet. He has Roma Dunze. I think Shane Waldron's a very good offensive coordinator. I think he's going to bring him along just fine. This is a good situation for Caleb Williams. And look, I know, in this day and age, we live and die with every single thing that we see on Twitter and every throw a guy makes in an OTA session. I remember the first year Patrick Mahomes was a starter, and he threw 8 interceptions in a week in training camp. And a story came out about how Case Keenum looked like a better quarterback that week because he was starting in Denver than Patrick Mahomes, and how Denver was going to be better than Kansas City because of this. And all Mahomes did that year was win the MVP and throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,100 yards. So I would tell people to just wait and watch it play out. I think he'll be just fine.
Matt, I agree with you. I think the nature of how we consume sports now has changed, that guys, even in practice necessarily, they don't have time to really, to make mistakes, to suck, to have a bad day, to do whatever, and before they're getting analyzed and criticized and whatever on social media. But I do think, I mean, certainly there's a learning curve to the pro game. Where do you see the one or two main areas that Caleb is going to have to adjust as he makes his way from USC to starting for the Bears?
Well, I would say this is for any quarterback, but I think in college, the defenses that you see, they're just not as complex. A lot of college football defenses are very much just say, look, we're gonna basically play stationary static defense. We're going to play cover two, and guys aren't going to move that much. We're going to play some spot drop zone, and guys are going to drop to 3 steps to their left, and that's it. In the NFL, you're going to play some defenses that are kind of static. You're going to play some defenses where guys are moving all over the place, and you need to really figure out what you're looking at. I think just the basic stuff, calling out protections, figuring out which way the offensive line is to slide, figuring out which guy's blitzing. The mental side of it is so much more than the physical side. The physical side of it, you can make a throw, you can't. But I think that's one thing. And then, with Williams coming out, if there's anything with him, I think he's going to have to learn you can't always try to make the hero play. And that's something that he fell into a little bit at USC, partially because of the team around him. But there are times in the NFL where it's a good play to throw the ball away. It's a good play on 3rd and 10 to just throw the check down and punt the ball. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. I think, sometimes guys come out of college and they're so much better, especially a guy like Caleb Williams, they're so much better than all the other players around them that they can just do things they're not supposed to do, and it's fine, and they get away with it because they're so talented that it's, hey, look, it's just going to come out all right. That doesn't work typically in the NFL. I mean, yes, every once in a while, you'll have a guy who can even do it at the NFL level. But for the most part, that doesn't work. That is a recipe for disaster. So, again, this is OTAs, minicamps, training. That's what he should be figuring all that stuff out. He should be finding his limits now. I don't care if he throws 30 picks in training camp. It's fine. Let him figure it out. And I think he will.
Our guest is Matt Verderami. He's an NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated. We're talking about the Bears here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito with you. Thank you for giving us part of your Memorial Day, listening to us. The man about town that Caleb Williams has been, he's everywhere, making his bear claw everywhere, most recently at a Sky game with Dwayne Wade, part owner of the Sky, and he's been everywhere, and he came out and he made a statement, we're not ducking it, don't duck it, expectations are there, expectations to make the playoffs, expectations, we're here to win championships, and I love all that talk. We won't know until we get there, but adapting to what it means to be a quarterback in Chicago, the Bears quarterback in Chicago, Caleb Williams is the most important person in this city. He's the biggest name in this city.
Yep.
And he's coming from a place where whatever was Hollywood out there, the USC Trojans are not, maybe probably not even in the top 10. Of events out there. There's movies, there's streaming platforms, there's SPF 15, there's traffic, there's the Dodgers, and USC football is not it. When you suck against Notre Dame, and it has a lifespan of a shelf life of 20 minutes, you sucked against Notre Dame. If you suck against the Packers or even Tennessee Titans, you have quarterbacks around here who have gone around shutting off TVs in Hallis Hall. I have no idea what he's used to. He's used to great expectations. I don't know that he's used to these expectations, and he seems to be handling it with great poise and aplomb. What have you gathered from that? What can you expect? What do you know about his background that will prepare him to be the most important person in Chicago for the next 10 years?
Well, I mean, he's been the biggest name in college football for a couple of years. I mean, obviously, he's somebody who, yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, it's Los Angeles. Los Angeles, nobody cares about sports in Los Angeles. Just ask the Chargers. but, look, I mean, he's been heavily scrutinized nationally for the last couple of years. I mean, he's somebody who everybody knows who he is. If you're familiar at all with football. He's somebody who's had to live up to this expectation of being the next big guy, and he didn't screw it up, you know. And I would note too that, listen, off the field he didn't screw it up either, which plenty of guys do that. I think, you know, he's kind of been true to himself. You know, he's gone about the draft process a little bit differently. He hasn't cared about what people have said, and that's a big thing. Like, I know. Is that going to make him convert 3rd and 8? No, it's not. But you need to have a thick skin. Because let's be real. I don't care how great he turns out to be. If he turns out to be an all-time player, he's going to have times where guys are, you know, people are just bagging on him. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Whether it's a bad game, you know, a month where he doesn't play particularly well, a tough rookie year, you know, he makes a mistake, says something in the press that people are questioning. Like, it's going to happen. And he's going to have to know how to deal with that. But that's reality. That's the way the world works. I mean, he's going to have to deal with that. I think that having been in the fishbowl of national media, of the scrutiny that comes along with that over the last couple of years, I think that'll help him. I think that'll prepare him. But to some point, you know, to some extent, you're right. Like, he hasn't played in Chicago. Chicago is a rabid sports city. And there are going to be people that if he struggles early, there are going to be people at Soldier Field that bone because they're just going to be ticked off and annoyed, and they're going to feel like we just did it again. We missed another quarterback. and that's, I mean, that's going to happen.
Matt, I was at the season opener last year. If you recall, the game that Green Bay at Soldier Field and Jordan Love and the Packers did what they would with the Bears. The booing started about halftime. In fact, I think they were booed going to halftime. So it didn't take even the full game.
No. Look, I think people have to understand he's a rookie. And I don't care how great you are. I mean, you could count on one hand the amount of guys who have come in as rookies and just been dominant. Now, there have been some guys who have come in as rookies and made the playoffs. You know, Matt Ryan did it. Joe Flacco did it. Obviously, C.J. Stroud is an example of a guy who came in and was fantastic as a rookie. Most guys, even guys who turned out to be great, they didn't come in as rookies and just absolutely light the world on fire. I mean, it just doesn't happen typically. And I think if you're a Bears fan, the one thing that is going to be hard for Williams this year is there are expectations on this team to not just be competitive, but to be a playoff team, to be a team that is good. And by the way, I think they're going to be. I think they are going to be a pretty good team. I think they are going to be a team that fights for the playoffs. But it's also, look, it's a tough division. It is a schedule that I think is very navigatable for the Bears, but there's some tough spots in it. And I think realistically, you're asking this kid to come in here and just immediately be the best player on the team. Like, he has to just come in, and there's no grace period. And I don't care who you are. You're learning a whole new offense and all new terminology, and you're trying to create chemistry with all new guys. And this isn't college. You know, when you walk in, I think the most underrated thing that fans don't understand and they don't think about, when you're a kid and you walk into college, the biggest age gap you're probably going to have is about 3 years. If you're walking in, you're Caleb Williams. Keenan Allen is like 11 years older than you. And he's going, hey, look, man, I've played with X amount of quarterbacks. I've done this. I've done that. Like, what do you have? These guys aren't, you know, these vets in that locker room, they're going to welcome him. They're going to support him. But they're not sitting there going, oh, well, thank God you showed up. Like, it's going to be, hey, what can you do? Can you help us win? Because if you can't help us win, it's a waste of our time. Like, there's a certain level of having to prove yourself that doesn't exist really in college because everybody's kind of transient and moving on. So, look, I think he's going to be fine. But I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a little while early.
All right, well, we have the Bear Claws at the ready, and we're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get Bear Claws to eat today because we think that's appropriate. Matt, really appreciate your time. Thanks for your insight today.
You got it. No problem.
Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated, talking Bears. You know, we talked about the schedule, and we're in OTAs, so I think we're going to investigate that. We're 17-0, my friend. But let's look at the schedule from the eyes of the way Matt Verderami just said it. It's navigable. So we'll run that down. And
let's do it.
And after this, I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Guitar lick of all time. I've been running down riffs.
I've heard.
On Saturday Suckage, we're up to number 18. It was, what was it? I mean, oh, Rebel Rebel. But number one, Smoke Out of Water. We started with that. This is so iconic. And speaking of iconic, we have another one coming up later because I can't stop singing the song today.
You can't. I can attest to this.
And I got a DeVita, babe. I just couldn't. You get the earworms, they get stuck.
The sad part of Smoke on the Water that we're listening to now is that as I hear it, because of what age I am, and I was the perfect age for Beavis and Butthead, When I hear that, all I think of is the two of them, Beavis and Butthead, sitting next to each other going verbally, dan, 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 and then doing the air guitar strumming. That is the picture that's in my head.
As it should be.
That's it's in your head.
That's what it brings you. That's what this song does.
Yes.
In the mid-70s, when this was kept getting played and played and played, there was a radio station out there. I think it's still there. KLOS. KLOS.
Los Angeles.
Jim Ladd was on KLO. I think he was on. Anyways, the joke was, by those of us trying to get into radio, who listen to the radio, KLOS. You're never more than 5 minutes away from Smoke on the Water. All right, welcome back. We will have something to say about Indigata DeVita later, but we're talking Bears schedule here on the Score. And we're not going to go. We could go week one, Titans, a win.
Bears.
At home. Week two, at the Texans and C.J. Stroud. And will Kayla Williams be C.J. Stroud by then? See, the thing about C.J. Stroud last year, I have no idea that he... There were no receivers there.
No.
He made those receivers.
Correct.
And Justin Fields, you know, the one thing we didn't talk about that we should with what Justin Fields had and what Caleb Williams has, we talked about DJ Moore, rightly so. He became spectacular. He's an all-pro. And now Keenan Allen, he's a Hall of Famer. Although it'd be interesting, if Keenan Allen's coming here, he's leaving the fact nobody watches football in L.A. And now he's coming to a place where that's all we do. And while Caleb Williams might be number one, Keenan Allen's certainly going to be in the front row in the team picture, right? He's coming from L.A. where nobody, dude, good vibes.
Well, and
In-N-Out Burger.
And you mentioned it as a joke, but correctly so. Or he did, Matt. I can't remember. Nobody cares about the Chargers. Nobody cares about them.
Right.
And they had Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams got hurt, but nobody cares.
And they had John Hadel and Lance Allworth. No.
Chuck Muncy.
But that will be an adjustment for Keenan Allen, I suspect, but I expect he'll handle it well. And we talked about DeAndre Swift and Rome Odunze, who got hurt. He got White Soxed immediately. But Cole Kmet, this is a top 10 tight end. He might not be Travis Kelce, might not have Travis Kelce's girlfriend, but Cole Kmet's a top 10 tight end.
Agree.
And that is yet another, that's wonderful. We've heard of these guys. I know we're biased. We're in the city. I had no idea of anybody. Did you know Tank Dell before C.J. Stroud made him a hero last year?
I did not, and I am literally blanking on their other receiver who had a wonderful season.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look
it
up.
That's exactly the point, that Caleb Williams has better weapons to be closer to C.J. Stroud when C.J. Stroud had nothing and he made those guys, and Justin Fields was not. He didn't make anybody. Did he make anybody better last year?
Justin Fields?
Yes.
I don't think so.
He gave you the fraud running game that the Bears are a running team. Look at that running offense. They had a scrambling quarterback.
Nico Collins had
left the boat that day, left the shack.
Nico,
that ain't all he left.
Nico had 80 catches for almost 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Every good team has a Nico. We'll discuss the Cubs later on and their Nico. Anyways, Titans, Texans, Colts, Rams. First four games for Bears, my friend.
Victories.
And then the Panthers. I think that the Panthers are just going to forfeit that game. I don't know that the Bears will actually
play. We don't have their picks anymore, so. Or do we?
Can you imagine of all the... We have some really bad owners here, right? Inert, inept, or just actively stupid, but we don't have a David Tepper. We don't have anybody throwing drinks on somebody. He's awful. And he made him draft the wrong quarterback. Look at that. Hi. Here's a big glass of stupid I'm throwing in your face.
We should be raising a toast to David Tepper in this town.
And Lovie Smith. There should be a statue of Lovie Smith.
Absolutely.
Outside the Arlington Heights stadium they're going to build.
With the beard.
Yeah. And then they play the Jaguars in London. I really hate the European trips. I hate what the NFL is doing, but that's what they're doing. And then the Commander, they have the bye week, then the Commanders, Los Cardinales, and the Patriots. All these sucky teams.
I will point out, just look at this early schedule, and I will do this off the top of my head. Titans is Will Levis. Texans, Stroud, we've been talking about. Colts is Anthony Richardson, last year's top of the draft.
If he's still healthy.
Stafford is an anomaly in this grouping. But then you have Bryce Young. You have Lawrence. The Commanders is Jaden Daniels. And the Cardinals is Kyler and then Drake May. So you see so many of the new young QBs. I don't know if they did this on purpose or what. But in the first half of that schedule, between last year's draft and this year's draft, you see Caleb playing all of those guys.
Well, you might as well keep going, because every team that's worth a damn is going to have a quarterback.
And no, I'm talking about young, specific to the last two drafts quarterback. But yes, that was my initial thought.
But that's the way that, the reason I brought that up is not to go win, my friend. I brought that up because that's where the schedule breaks. That's their preseason schedule, essentially. I know it's a regular season, but that's where they play everybody except the people they need to beat. They need to beat everybody in their schedule, yada, yada, yada. But then comes the division. All those games leading up, you didn't hear Packers, Lions,
nope,
or Vikings, did you?
Nope.
But now, the way the schedule breaks, if Caleb Williams is going to suck, you want it to be in OTAs. Or maybe team mini camp, or maybe training camp, or an exhibition game. You don't want it to be during the regular season. But if he's going to suck during the regular season, if they're going to struggle, then do it before you get to division games.
Mm-hmm.
And this schedule sets up. There's not the usual season opening, soul-crushing loss to the Green Bay Packers because they know quarterbacks better than you do.
I was at that one last year.
They know football better than you do. They're better than you are.
And it was soul-crushing.
The town of Green Bay is smarter than McCaskey ownership.
Last year started with Justin Fields, let's call it Justin Fields optimism. Packers at Soldier Field week one. By halftime, the Bears crowd was booing.
Yeah.
And that there was your season.
So the way the schedule breaks is a perfect, if you're watching Caleb Williams evolve, then you will watch him evolve. You mentioned there's the comparison of all the young quarterbacks from the last 2 years of draft. No, there's not a preponderance of great teams. They have the benefit of playing, based on last year, the third easiest schedule this year, as judged by last year's records. And they're playing, so they play a bunch of crap. The Commanders, they're crap. The Panthers, they're crap.
Yep.
The Cardinals, they could be crap at any moment.
Yep.
The Rams are probably going to be good. The Colts, I don't know. The Texans should be good. But you know there are some teams that are just going to suck. And
that
benefits Caleb Williams' growth chart, that arc, that learning curve, wherever you're going to get this guy. And then comes a gauntlet. Then comes the best part. The way this schedule, you brought it up. I don't know if this the way they set it up this way with all these young quarterbacks. And then comes the regular season, inside the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Because then comes week 11, home against the Packers. Week 12, home against the Vikings. Week 13, that's the Thanksgiving Day game at the Lions.
At the Lions. We will be eating turkey with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
He'll be eating knees. He's eating kneecaps.
And turkey for dessert.
Week 14, at the 49ers after the Thanksgiving Day game. And then a third straight road game at the Vikings on Monday night. So they're going to go, Sunday at noon against the Vikings, and then comes Thanksgiving. So it's Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, a Thursday morning, Sunday afternoon at the 49ers, and then a Monday against the Vikings, and then back week 16 against the Lions, week 17, a Thursday night against the Seahawks, and then the traditional regular season closing soul-crushing loss to the Packers.
It's on schedule.
In Green Bay. It is. I fully expect them to soil the bed. I expect the Bears to be in a playoff contention, and I expect them to soil the bed in the last game against Green Bay because that's what the Bears do.
Your new Bear Claw buddy may have something to say about that. And
which Bear Claw buddy?
Caleb.
Oh, okay. I didn't know because we've – now, I know Shmilkus, Mitch Rosen, left.
He did leave.
And I assume he left to go get Bear Claws, everybody. I assume he left to bring back Bear Claws because we're talking about Bears and Bear Claws and Caleb Williams here.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Has he been back yet with the Bear Claws? Has he come back yet, Tyler?
He has not come back yet. Nope.
I'm going to go out on
sure
a limb
be
here.
Back soon.
I'm sure.
He probably just got stuck in traffic. Oh, wait a second. It's Memorial Day. There's no traffic. I'm going to guess that if we want Bear Claws at 11:05, we could go drive and get them after we get
can.
Off the air.
We're going to be here. Grody comes on at 11.
Crosstalk. That's right.
And we're going to be here because he'll be here from 11 to 2:45, taking you up to Cubs baseball against the Brewers.
Yes.
So we're going to be part of Mark's first segment. That Mark Grody. It's like this is his show. It's not his show. And where's that text? Read, find that text and read it. That he thought it was Monday.
574 texter says, "Geez, just flipped on the Odyssey app to hear Rosenblum and Espo. Thought maybe I'd blacked out Friday night and just woke up to Saturday suckage." My friend, if you blacked out for the whole weekend because it's Monday.
Congratulations, and you missed the entire White Sox getting swept by the Orioles experience. So I love the way the Bears schedule breaks because it is a preseason within a regular season, and then wherever Caleb Williams is, then comes the gauntlet of all the division games in the second half of the season.
Yeah. And for those of us, if you love football and you love playoff football and you enjoy the holidays and the end of the year and everything that NFL playoff season brings, starting right before Thanksgiving, things get super serious and super interesting for the Bears right before Thanksgiving and then leading up through and including New Year's and Christmas and all that other good stuff. But it's going to be a fun few months for the Bears as if, assuming... as we were discussing, that the Bears are in some form of playoff contention. And hopefully, I hope that the opportunity to have a soul-crushing season finale loss to the Packers is there. Because that'll mean the Bears are a winning team with playoff possibilities.
No, the Bears sucked last year and they had a soul-crushing season. That's what they do.
That's a good point.
We're going to take a break. The Cubs have set their rotation for the Brewers series. This is more important than you thought it was going to be. We'll talk about that next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Hey, Chicago. What do you say? Cubs gonna win today.
The start of the Shota Imanaga experience.
Baseball season's up.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win. Well, they better. Cubs have lost 4 in a row, 5 of 7, 9 of 12, 12 of 18.
Do you know why?
Back? Why?
They skipped Shota.
Well, let's talk about that. That was Shota Imanaga, and he will be starting in this series. He was supposed to start last Friday. He's supposed to be on the show. It's not his show. He's the only show. And the Cubs game in St. Louis got banged after a rain delay. And so a lot of times teams will just push back, right?
That's what the Cardinals did. Miles Michaelis was supposed to pitch Friday. Instead, we got him facing the Cubs on Saturday.
So the Cubs have set their rotation for the Brewers series. And boy, they got to win today and tomorrow and whatever. Because you go back to those 18 games, they've lost 12 of their last 18. And that was at a time where they were tied for first with the Brewers, the team they're going to face now. They're 3.5 games behind the Brewers. They are closer, the Cubs are, to fourth place than they are to the Brewers. They're closer to the Pirates in fourth. They're almost closer to the Reds in last place than they are to the Brewers. But the Cubs are in second, and there's the Cardinals, Los Cardinales, are only a game behind. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear.
And a quick reminder as we talk Cubs that the Cubs road trip continues today against the Brewers. Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee. Pregame coverage at 2:35. Pat and Ron on the call for first pitch at 3:10. And you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app.
So going today in the afternoon game, the Cubs play Lakers. Rain delay. They lost to the Cardinals. They got on a plane. They got into Milwaukee. Justin Steele. See, if you're the Cubs, you're playing a night game. They used to do this all the time back in Hawks time zone. But it used to be common practice. If you played a game, you sent the next day, and you were playing in a new city, you sent the next day's starting pitcher on a train. You did a lot of train stuff.
Yeah.
You sent him on ahead. I would have sent... I don't know if they sent Justin Steele. Did anybody say? I never heard anything about that.
I have not.
I would have said, Justin, I would have said Saturday night. Get on a plane. Get to Milwaukee. Get there Sunday. Just take it easy. You're starting Monday afternoon. Because the Cubs are playing the afternoon, right? They got in late, and now they're playing an afternoon game. And they're playing against a team that's leading their division, and they've lost ground to them.
Well, and if there's ever a time... when you need a...
ace to be an ace?
Exactly. Justin Steele, your best pitcher last year, struggling so far this year, although he did have the injury, but he is starting today against somebody named Robert Gasser for the Brewers.
Oh my God, that's like actual names.
Robert Gasser,
2-0. Do you follow the Twitter account, actual names?
I don't.
Oh my God, you have to.
Actual
you can't
names?
Say,
I've got to find it.
Actual names. Tyler, do you follow actual names?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I do follow actual names.
So, and this is the confounding thing about the Brewers, is that you look
you
at
don't
their...
know, do you, Tyler?
No.
You're lying to us. You're
I'm
Pedro Grafraud.
Yeah. And,
I'm not a fraud, Rosie.
And an 847 texter points this out. I was going to mention this as well, that Justin Steele was on the Fox telecast Saturday night, because they were on Saturday night for Fox, and then last night they were on for Sunday Night Baseball, because
right,
it's Cubs-Cardinals.
Right, well, he could do that Saturday night and get on a plane Sunday and go to Milwaukee and be well-rested. At least one of the players would be well-rested, and it's the most important player you got, your next day starting pitcher.
But I wonder if they would do that just based on how they travel these days. Would they just send Justin Steele, the St. Louis airport by himself, and say, all right, get on a plane to Milwaukee, kid.
Yeah.
We'll see you over there. Would they do that in this day and age of how they travel, though? That is my thought. You know what I mean?
Sleep is sleep.
I'm with you.
Craig Council wanted him to sleep fast. Well,
maybe
Justin Steele's a longer sleeper. But give him the full, go to Milwaukee. You know what? Get out of here. Unless they're at the, are they at the Haunted Hotel? Is that
go
what
to the Broad Stop. I don't know that.
All right. So Justin Steele goes today. Ben Brown goes Tuesday. Shota will be reemerging like a cicada on Wednesday. And Thursday, Jameson Taillon. Now, this is the only good thing about the Cubs this year. The only reliable thing is their rotation. And that's not really been as reliable as you want it to be recently, but that's been the most reliable thing. Dansby Swanson, feel free to show up. Cody Bellinger, you can catch that ball. You can not get caught in a rundown. We'll discuss that later. But and whatever happened to Michael Bush? Remember him?
He had a lot of home runs early. Five games.
Michael Bush had a week, and then
no,
what?
He was playing good baseball early. I don't know if this is the old league catching up to you kind of thing, as they get more intel on you and they scout you more and they kind of figure you out more.
Has he hit a home run since that walk-off against the Padres at Wrigley Field? It's been a long time.
I would have to look. In fact, I will do so now. But it has definitely been a cold stretch, as we'll call it, for Michael Bush.
In the meantime, Shota going Wednesday. The idea of when they banged the game Friday in St. Louis, Shota was supposed to start. Instead of pushing him back, they pushed him way back for the right reasons. Craig Council was asked about it and rearranging the rotation for Shota and for his good health.
Yeah, essentially we're going to use the rain out to get him just a small break here and kind of rearrange our pitching situation, and just thinking about the big picture of the innings puzzle for the entire season for Shota, just trying to take advantage of a spot where we could do something. And, you know, with the thought in mind that you know, that there's hopefully we've got a big number of innings piling up, and that August and September we're going to need to kind of go, and that he'll be, you know, good through this whole stretch.
Slot in Monday, or is it
likely to slot in Wednesday?
Okay. And that was confirmed. And the thing is about Shota adapting, he's been spectacular with that invisible fastball, right? And an ERA that was even better than Fernando Mania, and through nine starts, 0.84. It was like 0.0. Mr. Blutarski.
Mr. Blutarski.
Yeah, right. So he's been spectacular. He's used to pitching every 6 days. That's what happens in Japan. And now he's been, and so this is a great opportunity to give him even more time. And like counsel said, we plan to be playing important baseball games later in the summer. We're going to need him to be that guy. So the rotation for the Brewers, Steele, Brown, Imanaga, Jameson, Tyone. And that's the way they're going to go into it. And that's what Jason Justin Steele will be. Cubs are going to win today, Shota?
Be the stopper, Justin.
They need
to. Let's see it. And to answer Tyler Farengol's question, Michael Bush's home runs, he had five and five days back in early to mid-April, then nothing until the walk-off against the Padres that Tyler referenced, which was May 7th, and that has been his only May home run as we sit here.
Okay, so once every 3 weeks he gets to hit a homer. Is that what Pete Alonso does? Pete Alonso, Mets are going to trade him, right? And aren't they? They suck.
He's a free agent. After this year, I mean.
Well, rent him. The Cubs need to do something. Well, you know what? Stop acting with some kind of arrogance and contact. Your team isn't making contact. Your team needs home runs. You better figure this out. Let's see if Michael Cirami, Bleacher Nation, can help us. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in on your Memorial Day listening habit. Thank you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago. What do you say? Cubs gonna win today.
The start of the Shota Imanaga experience.
Baseball season's up.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win. Well, they better. Cubs have lost four in a row, 5 of 7, 9 of 12, 12 of 18.
Do you know why?
Back? Why?
They skipped Shota.
Well, let's talk about that. That was Shota Imanaga, and he will be starting in this series. He was supposed to start last Friday. He's supposed to be on the show. It's not his show. He's the only show. And the Cubs game in St. Louis got banged after a rain delay. And so a lot of times teams will just push back, right?
That's rotation. That's what the Cardinals did. Miles Michaelis was supposed to pitch Friday. Instead, we got him facing the Cubs on Saturday.
So the Cubs have set their rotation for the Brewers series. And boy, they got to win today and tomorrow and whatever. Because you go back to those 18 games, they've lost 12 of their last 18. And that was at a time where they were tied for first with the Brewers, the team they're going to face now. They're 3.5 games behind the Brewers. They are closer, the Cubs are, to fourth place than they are to the Brewers. They're closer to the Pirates in fourth. They're almost closer to the Reds in last place than they are to the Brewers. But the Cubs are in second, and there's the Cardinals. Los Cardinales are only a game behind. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear.
And a quick reminder as we talk Cubs that the Cubs road trip continues today against the Brewers. Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee. Pregame coverage at 2:35. Pat and Ron on the call for first pitch at 3:10. And you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app.
So going today in the afternoon game, the Cubs play late game rain delay. They lost to the Cardinals. They got on a plane. They got into Milwaukee. Justin Steele. See, if you're the Cubs, you're playing a night game. They used to do this all the time back in Hawks time zone. But it used to be common practice. If you played a game, you sent the next day, and you were playing in a new city, you sent the next day starting pitcher on a train. He did a lot of train stuff.
Yeah.
He sent him on ahead. I would have sent, I don't know if they sent Justin Steele. Did anybody say, I never heard anything about that.
I have not.
I would have said, Justin, I would have said Saturday night. Get on a plane. Get to Milwaukee. Get there Sunday. Just take it easy. You're starting Monday afternoon. Because the Cubs are playing the afternoon, right? They got in late. And now they're playing an afternoon game. And they're playing against a team that's leading their division, and they've lost ground to them.
Well, and if there's ever a time when you need a...
ace to be an ace?
Exactly. Justin Steele, your best pitcher last year, struggling so far this year, although he did have the injury, but he is starting today against somebody named Robert Gasser for the Brewers.
Oh my God, that's like actual names.
Robert Gasser.
Do you follow the Twitter account actual names?
I don't.
Oh my God, you have to.
Actual names. Say, I've got to find it.
Actual names. Tyler, do you follow actual names?
Yes, I have. Yes, I do follow actual names.
So, and this is the confounding thing about the Brewers is that you look
you
at
you don't
their,
know, do you, Tyler?
No.
You're lying to us. You're
I'm
Pedro Grafraud.
Yeah. And,
I'm not a fraud, Rosie.
And an 847 texter points this out. I was going to mention this as well, that Justin Steele was on the Fox telecast Saturday night because they were on Saturday night for Fox. And then last night they were on for Sunday Night Baseball because
right,
it's
but he
Cubs Cardinals.
Right. Well, he could do that Saturday night and get on a plane Sunday and go to Milwaukee and be well-rested. At least one of the players would be well-rested. It's the most important player you got, your next day starting pitcher.
But I wonder if they would do that just based on how they travel these days. Would they just send Justin Steele to the St. Louis airport by himself and say, all right, get on a plane to Milwaukee, kid.
Yeah.
We'll see you over there. Would they do that in this day and age of how they travel, though? That is my thought. You know what I mean?
Sleep is sleep.
I'm with you.
Craig Counsell wanted him to sleep fast. Well, maybe
right.
Justin Steele's a longer sleeper. But give him the full, go to Milwaukee. You know what? Get out of here. Unless are they at the Haunted Hotel? Is that
go to the Broad Stop? I don't know that.
All right. So Justin Steele goes today. Ben Brown goes Tuesday. Shota will be reemerging like a cicada on Wednesday, and Thursday, Jameson Taillon. Now this is the only good thing about the Cubs this year. The only reliable thing is their rotation, and that's not really been as reliable as you want it to be recently, but that's been the most reliable thing. Dansby Swanson, feel free to show up. Cody Bellinger, you can catch that ball. You can not get caught in a rundown. We'll discuss that later. And whatever happened to Michael Busch? Remember him?
He had a lot of home runs early. Five games.
Busch had a week, and then
no,
what?
He was playing good baseball early. I don't know if this is the old league catching up to you kind of thing as they get more intel on you and they scout you more and they kind of figure you out more.
Has he hit a home run since that walk-off against the Padres at Wrigley Field? It's been a long time.
I would have to look. In fact, I will do so now, but it has definitely been a cold stretch, as we'll call it, for Michael Busch.
In the meantime, Shota going Wednesday, the idea of when they banged the game Friday in St. Louis, Shota was supposed to start. Instead of pushing him back, they pushed him way back for the right reasons. Craig Counsell was asked about it and rearranging the rotation for Shota and for his good health.
Essentially we're going to use the rain out to get him just a small break here and kind of rearrange our pitching situation and just thinking about the big picture of the innings puzzle for the entire season for Shota, just trying to take advantage of a spot where we could do something. And with the thought in mind that we've got a big number of innings piling up and that August and September, we're going to need to kind of go and that he'll be, you know, good through this whole stretch.
Slot in Monday, or is it
likely to slot in Wednesday?
Okay. And that was confirmed. And the thing is about Shota adapting, he's been spectacular with that invisible fastball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And an ERA that was even better than Fernando Mania and through nine starts, 0.84. It was like 0.0. Mr. Blutarski.
Mr. Blutarski.
Yeah, right. So he's been spectacular. He's used to pitching every 6 days. That's what happens in Japan.
Yep.
And now he's been, and so this is a great opportunity to give him even more time. And like counsel said, we plan to be playing important baseball games later in the summer. We're going to need him to be that guy. So the rotation for the Brewers, Steele, Brown, Imanaga, Jameson, Tyone. And that's the way they're going to go into it. And that's what Justin Steele will be. Cubs are going to win today, Shota?
Be the stopper, Justin.
They need
to. Let's see it. And to answer Tyler Farengol's question, Michael Bush's home runs, he had five and five days back in early to mid-April, then nothing until the walk-off against the Padres that Tyler referenced, which was May 7th, and that has been his only May home run as we sit here.
Okay, so once every 3 weeks he gets to hit a homer. Is that what Pete Alonso does? Pete Alonso, Mets are going to trade him, right? And aren't they? They suck.
He's a free agent. After this year, I mean.
Well, rent him. The Cubs
absolutely
need to do something. Well, you know what? Stop acting with some kind of arrogance and contact. Your team isn't making contact. Your team needs home runs. You better figure this out. Let's see if Michael Cirami, Bleacher Nation, can help us. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in on your Memorial Day listening habit. Thank you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.